Thank you, Brother Hollis. Appreciate very much all of you that have had activity. Brother Tootin, you did a good job there this morning. And certainly we're grateful indeed that you're here today. We welcome all of you that are visiting. And we want you to come back every opportunity that you have. That song that we just sung, Hollis, was one of my father's favorite songs. And I mentioned that to Hollis sometime before, and I always appreciate the fact that we can sing it together. On August the 29th, 1966, my father passed away. All the years before that, he was devoted to serving God. And I couldn't help but think as we were singing that song this morning, I'm glad I'm preaching on the promises of God. Because you see, God's made a promise to my dad, and he's made a promise to me, and even though that's been over 40 years ago, he'll keep his promise. The promises of God. What a tremendous thing it is to open up our Bibles and read, as Brandon did this morning, Braden did this morning, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And look, listen carefully. Look what God has to say. It's God speaking through Peter. Peter is writing these things. And look what he says, whereby are given unto us. What he's saying is something that he says we have. God's given it to us. And he says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, what a fantastic thing. God says through Peter, God said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to make a promise. God can't lie. Titus 1. The Bible tells us emphatically that those promises are exceedingly precious, they're exceedingly great because they're from God, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. You, I, all of us, we have something from God if we're children of the Lord. There are three or four things I want to point out to you this morning about the promises of God. First of all, God is always there to help us. Now, how many of us in this audience this morning need help? We all. In Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Bobby Nixon just prayed a good prayer. And he was praying for these folks that are sick, God being with them, bless them and their families. They need help. And I know one thing that they can all rely upon, and that's this. God's people in this family here will be praying for them. And remember, God is always there to help us. It matters not who we may be. If we're children of God, that we can pray, and God's made it very clear. When Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, He says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go and do what? Preach the Word. Go and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Well, and I ask the question as I brought this point out to your attention, who needs help? We all do. And I tell you what, it is so good to be able to go to the Bible and be assured from God that He will give us the help that we need. Because the Bible tells us, I need Thee every hour. And we do. And there's a song that was written, and we sing it sometimes. And tonight's our singing. Somebody may even choose it to be sung tonight. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. And the great promise is, God said, I'm here. I know your needs. When you articulate and you pray to me and you ask me, I will hear. And that leads us to the second point, that God has promised to hear us when we do pray. If we're children of God, Christians, we can actually go to God and ask for something. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we ask according to the will of God, He's promised to hear us. In John 9, verse 31, we know that God hears. If a man be a worshiper of God, keepeth His will, God hears that man. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And that promise goes out. God said, just come to me. Ask. Pray. Do something about your life. Get it all straightened out. And when you do, you'll receive the promise that I'll hear you and give you what you need. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, there we find that Paul says, you pray without ceasing. Don't ever cease to pray. In Acts 2 and verse 42, the Bible tells us how that the early disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers together. Hear me when I call. We sung that song a while ago. What a beautiful song. Hear me when I call, O God, my righteousness. Unto Thee I come in weakness and distress. Hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord. Hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. I was so glad to hear that Cheryl's going to be able to go home this afternoon. He's been suffering so badly. And guess what? When I saw Edith and I saw Thomas, the neighbor coming in today, I was so grateful and thankful that he's able to be back with us. He's suffered a whole lot. Thomas, we love you and care for you. And we're glad that you could be sitting here with us today. Hear me when I call, and we can pray for one another. We can pray for others. And God has made it possible for us to be able to be heard and give an answer and hear the answer that He gives to us. And in that song, hear, and Hollis didn't know I was even going to use this. Hear my cry, O God, unto my prayer. More and more I need Thy mercy and Thy care. Clouds of doubts arise and faith grows weak and small. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. About 4 o'clock this morning when I was up studying, I went to God in prayer. I was thinking of Bobby Cheatham. I was thinking of you, Carolyn. Bobby's had some tough times. Sure was glad I could pray with them last night. They need our prayers. God says, I'm here. Pray. Charles Tucker. These folks mean so much to us. They're going through difficulties. Families are having to, oh, they need help. And the greatest help, and generally, it's just like Daphne told me whenever she called me last week. And she was so excited that she'd gotten the news. The news that there was no more cancer in her brain. Daphne, we're just so thrilled about that. And you know what? When I ask God, and I pray for you specifically, and for all of you, And when different ones of you get good reports, as did Jeff McKinney's dad, I tell you what, I go back and say, God, I thank you that they're better. I'm thankful that you've heard me and heard them. Hear me when I call. And then the song goes on, hear my voice, O God, and cleanse my soul within. Mercy do I need for all my doubts and sin. Only in thy grace I trust my all in all. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. Boy, Bobby was the first one I guess I ever heard lead that song here. But it's meant so much to me. And then, hear my prayer, O God. I need thy cleansing power. Let me feel thee near each moment of each hour. Hold my trembling hand. Have you ever done that? Held somebody's hand that's trembling, that's going through all kinds of difficulties in life, and now then they need help. And the trembling hand, hold my trembling hand, lest helpless I should fall. Oh, hear me, Lord, hear me. Oh, hear me when I call. Bobby Nixon gave me a tape. And it was about different songs. And I'll have to get Stuart to maybe listen to this. About different, one of them was about Amazing Grace. I love that song. And you know who wrote the song Amazing Grace? There was a man by the name of John Newton. He lived in the 1700s. And I'm not going to be able to go through and tell you all about John Newton, except give you some highlights about this man. Oh, his mother wanted him to be a preacher. She died of tuberculosis when he was 6 years old. He then was brought up with his stepmother, who wasn't very close to him. At the age of 11 years of age, well, he was actually mistreated whenever he was sent to a various home, but at the age of 11 years of age, he got on the ship. He got around the people that were bad. And as history tells us, here was a man, a young boy rather, here was a young boy now developing into a man, and boy, could he curse. He learned to curse. And one of the things that I picked up from the internet was that as a youth, Newton began a pattern of coming very close to death, examining his relationship with God and then relapsing into bad habits. As a sailor, he denounced his faith after being influenced by one who was a shipmate. In a series of letters later that he wrote, he said, like an unwary sailor who quits his port just before a rising storm, I renounce the hopes and comforts of the Lord, the time whenever comfort was about to fail me. He was on a ship called Greyhound. And he gained notoriety for this. He was a man that they said was most profane. The captain said he'd never heard anyone say words or make up words that can compare to this young man. In March of 1748, while the Greyhound was in the North Atlantic, a violent storm came upon the ship that was so rough that it swept over a crew member who was standing where Newton had been standing just minutes or moments before. After hours of the crew emptying water from the ship and expecting to be capsized, Newton and another mate tied themselves to the ship's pump to keep from being washed overboard, working for several hours, and guess what? In the midst of all of this, he proposed the measure to the captain, and then he said, if our tying ourselves now to try to hold us in, If this will not do, then Lord, have mercy upon us. And those words came back after they were saved. Came back to him. He got his life back in order. He began to preach. And he made the statement in 17 and 48 that as far as someone that was so wicked, you just couldn't compare anyone else to him. But because now he wanted to turn to God, do something about his life, and then later on, he wrote these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. And now listen. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." Here's a person that had gone to the bad, but once he knew that he had to do something about his life, he wanted the mercy of God, he changed. He became a great person in the sense of trying to get things right in his own life. Yes, God has promised us to hear us when we pray. Don't forget that. I want to tell you this morning, number three, God's made a promise to you and me. And as I was studying about this, and I picked up something on the internet about sins. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, God said, "You're going to pay for it if you keep in it, if you don't get forgiveness for it, because the wages of sin is death. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to be separated forever and ever from God if you continue in your sins, if you don't remove them, if you don't get forgiveness for them." Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us that sin separates us from God. In 1 Timothy 1:15, "There was a man that likewise, who had done everything he could against the kingdom of God. And he said, 'This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.'" Who said that? Paul. 1 John 1:8-10, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 2:1-2, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." What's the greatest, the worst sin? There was somebody on the internet made this group of sins. They considered these sins as being the bit worst. Incest, Leviticus 18:6. Blasphemy, Jeremiah 28:16. The worship of false gods, 1 Kings 14:22. Giving your child in sacrifice, Leviticus 18:21. legal corruption, no respect of persons and taking gifts, 2 Chronicles 19, verse 7. Magic and sorcery, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. Homosexuality, Leviticus 18, verse 22 and Romans 1, 26 and 27. Sex with animals, Leviticus 18, verse 23. And then lies, Psalms chapter 5, verse 93. But now, all of these things that are mentioned are things that you hear people engaged in. Terrible sins. Awful. But look what can happen to a man or a woman that's involved in sin. Matters not what it is. If you're jealous, if you're envious, we can add all of those sins. Look what God says. I've promised to forgive you. I've promised to wash them all away. You can be clean. You can be forgiven. And that's why Jesus said, you go and you preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Promises from God. Number four, He's made a promise. He's made a promise to take us home to heaven. Charlie Christopher has really, really suffered. We've talked a lot, he and I. I love him deeply, as you do. He's in the hospital again. The only thing he's ever asked me that he wanted me to do for him was to pray for him. How many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? He and Betty have been so faithful and helpful to all of us. But he wants to go home to be with God. He wants to be in heaven. And so do you and I. Don't forget to pray for him and his family and all the others. In Matthew 25, Jesus said the end will come. I know not when, but it will come. I don't know when. Jesus says that the Lord knows, God knows. But he says in verse 46, these will go away into life everlasting, but the wicked shall be cast into hell. Go into destruction. I don't want a single one under the voice, under the sound of my voice this morning to be lost. God doesn't. In John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Christ that we are promised to have this wonderful salvation. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, brethren, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We need to keep pressing on, not give up, but the end will come for all of us. And we need to be ready. When the end comes for you, when the end comes for me, will we go to heaven? Where will you spend eternity after a while? We've talked about the promises. We sing about the promises. And I want you to remember this song in conclusion. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Because I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail. Why? Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. No wonder Peter says, these are the exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might have the conviction. You might have that wonderful hope, because God does not lie. And when He makes a promise, what a glorious thing to know that it will be kept. We conclude the service this morning with an invitation to you. Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you've never been baptized, arise now. Don't wait. Now is the time. Yes, obey the gospel. Here is water. What does hinder you from being baptized? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized? Standing on the promises of God, when you're a child of God, no matter what comes or goes, remember, you can stand on those promises that God has made to you. Are you a Christian here this morning? You've fallen by the wayside. You're not ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not this morning acknowledge that you're wrong? Ask God to forgive you. And let us pray with you and for you. What a wonderful thing to know that when this life is over, we can go home to be with God if we're faithful to the very end. And if you need Him, He's ready. Are you ready? Won't you obey Him? Come now while together we stand.